the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa 3 times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Today we will start a new topic, process of death and birth, near death cognitive process. We have learned different type of cognitive process, like sensorial cognitive process, jhana cognitive process, and path, magga, path cognitive process. Now we learn, today we will learn the last one, the near death cognitive process. That during our dying moment, how this cognitive process takes place. What is death in the Buddha's teaching? Death means cutting off of life faculty or breaking up of aggregates. We have 5 aggregates. So the body aggregates break up and the consciousness aggregate continue to travel to other places. So death in Buddha's teaching is not something to be fearful of. You just discard the old body and take up a new body and stay in a new place. So it's not something you should fear of. Now, when the body gets old, it's good to discard it to get a new one, right? Okay, so what are the causes for death? There are 4 causes. Number 1, through the expiration of lifespan. Nowadays, the lifespan now for average people, average lifespan nowadays is almost like 75. So if you die, we die at the age of 75, then it is called the death occurred through the expiration of lifespan. And number 2, through the expiration of productive karma. We come to this world because of 1 karma performed in our past life. This is the main cause. Of course, you say because of the union of parents. This is the second cause, right? Because of the past life, 1 of the karma performed in the past that is going to produce this life. Then the union of parents occur at the same time, then our life come to existence. And when this karma come to exhaustion, then our lifespan will finished. So we call through the expire of productive karma. That productive karma produce our life in this life. Our first rebirth consciousness in mother's womb. The 3rd one is called through the expiration of both lifespan and the productive karma. Suppose a person died at the age of 75 and at the same time his productive karma also exhausted. So this is called both. Number 4, through a destructive karma, untimely death. For example, many people die in a tsunami, in an earthquake, in a natural disaster, the flood, fire, and so on, when they are still young. So this is called death occur through a destructive karma. Because in our past life, we have performed many different types of karma, whether good or bad. So sometimes good karma ripen, so we feel very prosperous. But sometimes a destructive karma will take place that cause our death, although it's not timely. This is called destructive karma. Therefore, if we believe in karma, we take easy, we face the death, the death of our beloved one, even the death of ourselves. We take it very easy because we understand nothing happened without cause. That happened with its cause. Even our beloved one suddenly passed away, we understand this is his destructive karma. His karma has ripened. What can I do? Let him go. But if you don't understand the karma, you try to go against the law of karma, then you suffer badly. So understanding the working of the karma is very soothing. It helps you, it alleviates your pain. But if you don't understand the karma, you say, why me? Why my son? Why not others? That is very, it's very unwise thinking. Yeah? Others' parents also feel the pain. Other parents also say, why not others? Then who should be blamed? Karma. Therefore, in teaching, in the Buddha's teaching, only three words, three sentences. Avoid all evil. Why? Because we love ourselves. We don't want that evil consequences come back to us. So avoid all evils in order to protect yourself from all dangers and misery. But avoid all evil, not enough. Because we want to live happily, right? So we have to cultivate happiness by performing all good actions. Performing all good actions are the requisites for happiness. But this type of happiness is called mundane happiness. And mundane happiness are impermanent, not lasting. Therefore, we have to pursue another eternal happiness. That is purification of the mind. Purify your mind. Purify your mind. Remove all the corruption of the mind from your mental stream. Then you are truly happy. So all the summary, the teaching of the Buddha can be very vast, but it can be summarized only into three words, three sentences. Avoid evil, cultivate good, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Okay. Okay. When a person, during his dying moment, he will see one of these three objects at the moment of death. Number one, karma. Number two, sign of karma. Number three, sign of destination. I have taught this one before. However, I have to repeat again. Why does this sign arise? Why does this sign arise? What do you think? What do you think? Why everybody during his dying moment can see one of these three signs? Why he see some things? Can't he see nothing? Why must he see something?
Mind gets cut off from the daily living and the regular.
That should be finish everything, but why should he see something? Only Arahant sees nothing. If Arahant dies, no sign will appear. But as long as you are not yet attained Arahantship, one of these three signs will appear. And the mind, the dying mind, will quickly grasp this sign in order to get another rebirth. But Arahant has no greed for life anymore. Therefore, that sign will never appear for Arahant. But for ordinary people, because we don't want to die, although the body want to die, but the mind still crave for existence. Therefore, the mind has to grasp something. The mind will grasp one of these three signs. And why this one of these three signs arise? Because of past karma. One of the particular karma which has met all the conditions to ripen, to produce your future rebirth. So that sign arises because of past karma that has met all the conditions to produce rebirth consciousness in the next life. So whether you want to have next life or not, whether you believe it or not, as long as the craving for life still intact in the mental stream, the life will continue to go on. Okay, let's see what's the meaning of karma. One of the three signs, number one, is called karma. Wholesome and unwholesome deed or volition done in the past. Let's say, in Asia, very common we see that people offer food to monks or monastics. This is very common practice in Southeast Asia. So let's say this man offering food to monastics. This is his wholesome karma. And during his dying moment, and this wholesome karma suddenly ripened. Ripened because this karma has met with all conditions to ripen. So this karma suddenly ripened. And this man lying on the bed, he saw himself like offering the food to the monastics again. Just like see a movie. He saw himself like doing the same thing again which he has done in the past. This is called karma. It's only mental image. Okay? What is the meaning of sign of karma? Any instrument used in performing wholesome or unwholesome karma. Let's say, you used very frequently, you offer the ropes, the rose to Buddha's image. Although it's Buddha's image, but you think it's a real Buddha whom is worthy of respect, worthy of offering. Therefore, you offer the rose to the Buddha. And during a person's dying, during this person's dying moment, she saw the rose again. Dying moment, the mind has to grab something. So this person will grab the rose. And why the rose appear? Because of her karma, offering rose to Buddha. And this karma ripen, so appear during his dying moment as sign of karma. And this person will grab this rose and take the rebirth. Since this is a good sign, therefore, her rebirth will be in human realm or heavenly beings, or become a heavenly beings. But suppose a robber always use his gun to perform unskillful action, then in his dying moment, he will see the gun. This is called sign of karma. Okay, number three, sign of destination. Sign of destination is an indication of where rebirth is to occur. Suppose a dying moment see the fire, flame. Then you can imagine where will he take rebirth? Hell. He will take rebirth in hell. And this dying person, before he die, he might even scream, very hot, very hot, very hot. And we just don't understand why he say hot, because it's in aircon room. Because he has seen this fire, mental in his mental image, as a mental image. And I have one student who live in, while I was giving a talk about this talk in Australia, one of my devotees approached me. And she said that my husband, during his dying moment, he always said, very bright, very bright. And I quickly go and switch off the light. But he still said, very bright, very bright, until he passed away. And this thing puzzled her very much. She just cannot understand why her husband keep on saying, very bright, very bright. Not until she listened to my talk. Then suddenly she came to understanding. Then she approached me and asked me why. I say that your husband might have seen divine beings. Divine beings are very bright, very brilliant. Therefore, it's a sign of his death destination to show that he's going to be born in heavenly realm. So she was very happy. Therefore, this when a person, he even see the heavenly music, heavenly beings. So then she will smile. So those who work in hospices, when they accompanied with dying person, they can feel it. Hey, this dying person die with calmness, with smile in her face. Some die with distorted face and so on. Why? Because they all this dying person see their own signs. Some are good signs, some are bad signs according to their past karma. If you see forest, is it good sign or bad sign? Let's say you see a forest during your dying moment. Is it good sign or bad sign?
Bad sign.
Bad sign. Why? Maybe as tiger, as a lion, as a monkey, right? But it's also possible as a monk, as a hermit, right? So we may not know, and in this case, and this person will know only, not for us to judge whether he will be reborn as animals or as a hermit or as a yogi. Like all the yogi in India, they stay in the forest. Okay, and there's one interesting question. In our past, maybe this life, maybe past life, we have performed various type of karma, good or bad, right? No one can escape from good or bad karma. So during our dying moment, which karma occur first? Isn't that interesting? Which karma occur first? It's not only interesting, important for you to know. Okay. Number one, weighty karma. Weighty karma. Weighty means heavy, heavy karma. Number two, death proximate karma. Number three, habitual karma. Number four, reserve karma. So what's weighty karma? Weighty karma got wholesome and unwholesome. Now let's see what is unwholesome weighty karma. Number one, creating a schism among the sangha. What's the meaning? In sangha, every full moon day, they have to recite Patimokkha. So if you, anyone, they say Devadatta. Devadatta, the enemy of Buddha, during his life, when a community of monks was having a Patimokkha recitation of their precepts or the rules, and Devarata came in and break the community of the monk into two parties and bring one party and lead one party away. This is called creating a schism among the Sangha. Number two, wounding a Buddha. Same, this also happened by done by Devadatta. One day, Buddha was walking up and down under the heel of Rajagaha. Then Devadatta pushed down a rock in order to kill Buddha. And the splinter of a rock wound the Buddha's toes, and caused bleeding. This is called wounding a Buddha. This is very heavy karma. But now we are safe from this because Buddha is no more here. Okay, number three, murdering an Arahant. Murdering an ordinary person and murdering an Arahant is very different. The effect is very different. Why? Because Arahant is a person who has killed all the refinement. Such a virtuous, pure person. And if a person kill a pure, virtuous person, the effect is very severe. It becomes weighty karma. Number four, matricide, killing mother. Number five, killing father. So if we do not done all this weighty karma, then during dying moment, this type of karma is out. And what are the consequences? But if anyone have performed such one of the Vedic karma, what are the consequences? Number one, he will be reborn in hell in immediate future life. Just like Devadatta. Devadatta, during his dying moment, he remorse all his bad deed. And he want to apologize. He want to ask forgiveness from the Buddha. And he ask his disciple to carry him to Buddha's quarter. However, he has no chance to ask for forgiveness. And he die before he reach Buddha's quarter. And he die and reborn in hell. And if anybody has done one of the five Vedic karma in this lifetime, he's unable to attain jhana, not to speak nibbana. Like Ajatasattu. Ajatasattu has killed his father, King Bimbisara. So after he killed his father, he feel remorse, regret, remorse. And his mind is so restless. There's no peace in his mind. So one day, his minister suggested him to go and see Buddha to pacify his sorrow. Then he went to see Buddha. And Buddha preached him a dharma. And after the discourse, Buddha said, if he has not killed his father, he was able to attain stream enterer after he finished listening my course, my talk. However, he has killed his father, who is also stream enterer, that already create a obstructor, obstacle, or create an obstruction to hinder his spiritual path. He cannot become a noble one. These are the consequences of committing unwholesome weighty karma. Okay, let's say we do not commit any unwholesome weighty karma. Then what type of karma will ripen next? That proximate karma. What it means? That proximate karma means karma performed or remembered shortly before death. I give you an example. Malika, Malika, huh? Malika was queen, was a queen, huh? And she was very pious and performed a lot of wholesome deeds. However, she has done one misconduct, misdeed toward his husband, toward her husband. And she keep on remembering this bad deed she has performed. So much so it become a habit that during her dying moment, she still remember that bad deed she has performed. And because of that remembering of one's bad deed during dying moment, and it become that proximate karma, and she die and reborn in hell. Although she has performed so many generosity, she support Buddha, she propagate Buddha's sasana, Buddha's teaching, but one bad deed she has performed, and she keep on remembering that and cause her to reborn in hell. You may say it's not fair, but wait, huh? You listen first, then you know how to make judgment. And her husband, who was king, of course, I think it's King Kosala. He was very sad. But the king has confident that the queen will be reborn in heaven, owing to all her good deeds. However, the king want to get confirmation. This is what he think, but he's not sure. Therefore, he approached the Buddha. He said, "Oh my Lord, Buddha, where my queen take rebirth?" And Buddha had omniscient mind. Of course, Buddha knew that the queen took her rebirth in hell. But can the Buddha tell the king or not? Buddha cannot tell the king because the king supported the teaching of the Buddha, and the king also performed all the good deeds with the queen. And Buddha know, if I told the king the truth, the fact, the king's confidence in Buddha's teaching will vanish. So I cannot tell the truth. And yet, I cannot tell lies, right? A enlightened person will never tell lies. So what can he do? What can Buddha do? Keep quiet. Keep quiet, the king not satisfied. How can the king satisfy? I have, you know, offer you so much. I have performed so much generosity. I have so much confidence in you. And now I ask you a question, you keep quiet. How can my sorrow be appeased? No. So the Buddha used his psychic power to let the king forget to ask this question. The king can see what the Buddha can see what will happen in the future. So when the king approached him, the Buddha know he's coming to ask me this question. Okay, he performed the psychic power to ask him to forget to ask this question. So after that, the king went back to his palace. Remember, my gosh, I go to Buddha's just to ask this question. How can I forget? Never mind. Tomorrow I'm going to ask again. So tomorrow he came again. Again, Buddha performed psychic power to let him forget. Successfully for 7 days. After 7 days, king said, I think I got an enzyme already. Today, I must keep a note with me and with this note, I go to see Buddha. So when he reached Buddha's place, see his note, okay, this question I want to ask. He said, Buddha, where is my queen take rebirth? Buddha said, oh, good. Your king, your queen has reborn in heavenly realm. And the king was so happy and go back home. Why? Buddha didn't tell lies. Because the queen was cast to hell only for 7 days. So Buddha know, now I no need to perform any psychic power already. I only have to tell the truth. The queen has taken rebirth in heaven. So her stay in hell only lasts for 7 days because the bad deed is very minor, very small bad deed. Just remember the misdeed she has performed. Compare with so many good deeds the queen has performed. Therefore, the duration staying in hell is very short. But you may ask, why all her good karma, supporting the Buddha, dana, generosity, keeping the morality, where it doesn't produce any effect? Of course, all this good deed produce effect. Therefore, after 7 days in hell, she was reborn in heavenly realm owing to all her good deeds, and she stayed in the heavenly realm for a long, long time. But you may ask, why this small evil deed take the effect first? It's because that proximate karma. Because very close to rebirth. Very close to rebirth, it becomes very powerful. That's why in Buddha's teaching, we say last moment is very important. In China, we used to chant for dying person. In Theravada and Mahayana, it's a bit different. Theravada emphasized on chant, give blessing before this person dies. But in Mahayana, after death, they continue chanting. So this is a bit different among the two traditions. Okay, next one. So the number three karma, habitual karma, a good or bad deed habitually performed. Good habitual karma, for example, we always remembering, recollect the virtues of the Buddha. Are we always offering to the Buddha, chanting puja, and offering fruits and food to the monastic? All these are called meditation. All these are called wholesome habitual karma. And we have unwholesome habitual karma, like slaughtering the animals, fishing, killing and so on, stealing and so on. So this habitual performed karma will automatically remembered during dying moment. So it's also very close to that proximate karma. What you habitually perform, then during dying moment you remember. This is common to most people, but for Malika, it's special, exceptional case. Just now the Malika story I mentioned, she didn't remember all her good deeds and yet, but only remember the bad deed. This exceptional case. For most people, they will only remember what they habitually done before that take place. So what you habitually done in your life become the important requisite for you to take rebirth in good existence in the future. So you should, if you want to have good rebirth, you got to check from from where you from where when you start from your baby until now, count which more good deeds or more bad deeds. If you oh, I have more good deed, then you have confidence. You are not afraid of that because you will know good deed more than bad deed, then it will bring you to good rebirth. But if you come from the baby until now, oh, more bad deed. It's still not late, huh? You still have plenty of time to do good, right? So if you have more good deed than the bad deed, that to you is nothing. You don't have to fear of that if you know you are going to reborn in heavenly realm, much better than human, right? So why you want to attach to human life? That to you become a release in order to reborn in heavenly realm. Only those who are not sure of future birth has fear. As long as you don't have confidence in your good deeds, then you have fear of death. But as long as you have confidence in your good deed, death to you is a migration. Migrate from one, for example, migrate from Taiwan to USA. Better life, right? Therefore, you come to USA because you want to have better life. So if you know you will be reborn in a happy existence, why should you attach to this pleasant life? So when death occurs, you face it courageously, bravely, and joyfully take the new rebirth. Say goodbye to the old one. Okay? So the last one, reserve karma. Reserve karma excludes the aforementioned three kinds of karma, the karma which is potent enough to affect rebirth. We have mentioned Vedic karma, that proximate karma, and habitual karma. In case, during a dying moment, these three karma do not occur, then reserve karma. Reserve karma means one of the deed that you simply perform and forgotten. But suddenly, during dying moment, it become potent to produce rebirth. This case also is exceptional case, very rare, rare. Let me give you a simile. Suppose there are many cows are kept here. So the next morning, when the door is opened, which cow will come out first? What do you think? Huh? Near the gate. In fact, the stronger one will come out first. The stronger one will push away those who stand at the gate and come out first. But in case there's no strongest one, then the cow who stands near the gate will come out first. This is equal to that proximate karma, the deed that you remember during dying moment. Okay, and if there's no cow stay near the gate, then which cow will come out first? No strong one, strong already out. Which cow will come out first? Stronger already out, and nobody stay at the gate also. No cow stay near the gate. Then which cow will come out first? Huh? The one who always look at the gate. The one who always look at the gate, when the gate is open, he will quickly run out. This equal to our habitual karma, our habitual good karma. We habitually perform. Every day we perform. It become our habit, so we keep on looking at the gate. Gate is the gate to heaven. And if there's no strongest one, no cows stand near the gate and no one pay attention to the gate, then which cow will come out first? which cow will come out first? The small cow. Don't know why. This cow was pushed here, pushed out, then pushed out to the gate. Was pushed out of the gate. So the weakest cow being pushed here and there out of the gate. This is called deserved karma, the last karma. Okay. Let us see, near that eye door connective process. Okay, let's say a person who used to offer rose to the Buddha, and during her dying moment, she saw the rose again. She may see, here is eye door connective process. I only see color, so she only see the color of flower. Pink. Okay. So what the connective process, how the connective process takes place? Number one, past bhavanga, V, vibrating bhavanga, A, arresting bhavanga, F, five door connective process, I, E, eye consciousness, sees the color, receiving consciousness, receive the color, investigating consciousness, and determining consciousness, followed by five jhavanas. Usually we say seven jhavanas, right? But now only five. Why? Because during dying moment, the heart become weak. So jhavana cannot run for seven times. Jhavana only runs for five times. So during dying moment, only five jhavanas. Then death occur, death consciousness. Here, from the FE until J Javana, this red color, this consciousness moment, all this consciousness moment takes color of flower as object. DH is death consciousness. Death consciousness does not take color as object. Please don't get confused. And from the EFERC up to the J, the last J, this is called near death eye door cognitive process. Not including death consciousness. So this near death eye door cognitive process takes color of flower as object, and the death consciousness pass away from this life. So the function of that consciousness is passing away from this life. And since the eye-door cognitive process holding on to the color of that flower, immediately that consciousness, rebirth consciousness takes place. RB is rebirth consciousness, and within that consciousness and rebirth consciousness, in Abhidhamma teaching, there is no gap. No antara bawa. Like Mahayana teaching, we say, zhong yin shen, antara bawa in Pali. So in the teaching of Abhidhamma, there is no antara bawa, zhong yin shen. But another way of explanation, I don't know what it means, zhong yin shen, but zhong yin shen can be another life. So after that, he become zhong yin shen, the life still going on. So if you can see in this way, there's no contrast, no conflict between Mahayana teaching and Theravada teaching. If you consider zhong yin shen still another life. Still a new life. Okay, after rebirth consciousness, then the consciousness continue to flow. because consciousness cannot stop flowing. Only when a person enter into parinibbana, consciousness stop, because the cause has been removed. But so long the ignorant and craving still intact, the consciousness will continue to flow from one life to another life. Okay, so that's all for today. I don't know if you have question or not. We intend to cancel the question and answer section. Yes, unless you have a lot of question, because if no question, we just cancel. Do you think you want to ask question? Is it clear for you? If it's clear, usually no question. Only when it's not clear, you have question. So we will cancel the question and answer section. Okay? Wait a moment. Can we stop at 11 o'clock? I can give you 10 minutes to ask now. I can give you 10 minutes to ask now, so we cancel the question and answer section. Yes? I cannot hear. Can you speak loudly?
If a man dies and is reborn, does he still
get reborn as a man? Oh, I see, okay. It depends on your inclination. It depends on your inclination. Let's say, this life, I am a woman. I feel disgusted to become a woman again. So I incline my mind to become male. Then next night I can become male. Not necessarily this life, you are a woman, you will reborn as a woman again. No. Okay, any other question?
How about this consciousness, taking rebirth? Does it, I'm confused about, but I don't want to get too much into that.
Okay.
Like soul. Buddha doesn't believe in soul.
Yes. No.
So and consciousness, soul and consciousness, two different things.
Soul is unchanging.
Right.
Soul is unchanging, permanent.
Yes.
But consciousness is arising and passing away. In fact, if I go on, we will reach this point. But unfortunately, we don't have time already. We will reach this point. Who migrate from one life to another life? We will touch this point. Soul is permanent, a permanent one, again and again. Now, consciousness arising, passing away, according to causes. This is the difference.
How does it find body? How does that process happen?
Body, this life, when you die, you discard the body.
Yes.
Then you take up a new body in the next life. Next life, let's say you reborn in heavenly realm, another body, brilliant body. Radiant body, not this type of body. So that is casting away the old body and take up the new body. But the consciousness continue to flow. But it's not the same consciousness, because consciousness is arising and passing away. How can it be the same? Although it's not the same, but it inherits all the past tendency in the together with the mental stream. Therefore, Buddha, avoid this. If you say the same permanent soul, it's called eternalism view. Eternal view. And if you say that consciousness now, this life, has nothing to do with next life. This is called annihilation view. Because this life, everything finished. New life, no connection with present life. This is called annihilation view.
Yes, and then we can say that who cares about next life? Let me do whatever I want to do this life.
Okay.
Because I don't know no connection between this life and next life.
This one is called annihilation view.
Right.
And this annihilation view, Buddha is also say, another extreme of wrong view. Eternalism is also another extreme of wrong view, right? So Buddha said, avoid this two wrong view. Buddha program, Buddha preach, dependent on ignorance, karmic formations comes to be. Dependent on karmic formation, consciousness. Dependent on consciousness, mind and matter. Depend on mind and matter, six sense bases. Depend on six sense bases, contact. Depend on contact, feeling. Depend on feeling, craving, and so on. This is correct view, right vision. And although some people may cling to the annihilation view, you know, who know what will happen in the future? We just care for this life. But when that occurs, and when he takes rebirth, it's too late. It's too late. Right? He said, because previous life, I don't care. Now, as a result of my unwholesome deed done in my previous life based on annihilation view, now I suffer. He can see himself because hell beings is spontaneous rebirth. Spontaneous rebirth means immediately you come as an adult, not like human has to go through 9 months in mother's womb. So he can remember why he was reborn in hell, because of that deed done in his past based on this annihilation view. At that time, it's too late. Right? It's too late. So what we cannot see now doesn't mean that it does not exist. If what you cannot see means it does not exist, then we will do a lot of unwholesome things. Why we cannot see now? Because our wisdom is not developed yet. If you develop your wisdom, you can see what you now cannot see. So if a person say, I cannot see with my eye, I don't believe. Animals can see so many things we cannot see. So if a person cling to what cannot see now, therefore it does not exist. This is called very rigid mind, very closed mind. Because how much wisdom this person has developed in order to see more than his eye can see. Sometimes we see things not using eyes, using wisdom, using mind's eyes. Okay? You have question? Another cognitive process, the first cognitive process in one's lifetime. The first cognitive process in one's life in a mother's womb, the craving for existence is already there.